the Hidden Ode for Dog Days of Podcasting for, what day is today, the 6th or the, yeah. Okay, so that would make it the 7th episode of the Dog Days of Podcasting for 2014. So my voice is going to sound a little different today, probably a lot different actually. I'm recording out on the porch. I'm using my H4N. I just, you know, felt like recording in a different spot tonight. Not much in the way of writing today. Today was a bit of a rest day. Just physically felt fatigue, all that fun stuff that, you know, just seems to be happening to me at least once a month this year. I'll get into that in a later time. I'm going to instead just fast track towards the topic for this month. So, yesterday I talked a great deal about role-playing games and their impact on me. Now, like I said then, that was kind of a step into and out of the timeline so far. Today we're going to step firmly back into it. Kind of talking mid-90s, kind of that 94, 95, to 98, 99 era. So I guess mid to late 90s a little bit. Primarily focused on PC gaming. This was the time period that PC gaming kind of woke up for me. The period where I started to embrace, you know, some more games, some more genres. This was a very interesting period for games for me, and just in the genre in general, because, well, while I know that, you know, full motion video games had been around for some time, Sega CD had done that a few years earlier, for me, my experience with full motion video, that came in the form of PC gaming. Games like Stonekeep, Seventh Guess, Phantasmagoria, they were interesting experiences. The, you know, first time feeling like, hey, I'm controlling real people in games. Granted, the technology then was rather limited. And I imagine if they try to do it nowadays, it probably would come off a little bit smoother. Although, I don't know, these days we're so close to the kind of uncanny valley with some of the games out there that I'm not even sure if you need to. So, but it was the time where I took notice of games on the computer, when I took more notice of when we went to a computer shop as opposed to a gaming shop. Now again, I, of my brothers, was not the one who really took to computer maintenance, computer building, computer anything outside of gaming. You know, that's always my forte. Granted, I know a bit now to get myself in trouble on there, but not enough really to build a machine myself. Again, that is the forte of my oldest brother, my younger brother, and my dad. But when it came to games, oh man, that was a golden era. Coming off of Super Nintendo like that, you know, you had such greats as Stonekeep, one of the most interesting kind of dungeon crawling type games. That was an interesting genre. Hold on a second. That was an interesting genre that sparked early from, you know, TSR in their game types. Eye of the Beholder, both on the... Was Eye of the Beholder on Super Nintendo? I want to say yes. But the Super Nintendo version wasn't as good as the PC version. And a lot of those early D&D TSR games had the same style of Stonekeep, that kind of faux 3D environment set to a grid. You know, you're basically stepping room to room to room. It was a lot like the MUDs back in the day, just kind of visualized. You know, describe the small stuff, here's the stuff on the ground, there's a lever there, pull that, whatever. It's kind of interesting watching a genre unfold as the engines themselves change. And Stonekeep was one of those games that, you know, I pretty much can go back and play whenever. In fact, I actually did buy it again last year. You know, this, what, 20-year-old game. I picked it up on Good Old Games. They had a version of it that was, well, it mostly worked. I got pretty far in the game, And then somewhere about 80-85% of the game, my system seems to crash every time. Apparently it's a fairly unique thing to me, so wasn't really able to find help on it. And, you know, how do you get maintenance on a game that's 20 years old that's not a Nintendo project? Because they still do things. Anyway, but it was also the time of games like Myst and just a lot of action-type games. Was Baldur's Gate during that timeline? No, I want to say Baldur's Gate was a few years later, and like I said, I'm on the back porch, so I'm not sitting at my computer. I can't verify the facts this time around, but it was also the time I started playing a few more first-person shooters. I know Duke Nukem 3D came out late around that time. This was just before first-person shooters really got an upgrade from the release of Half-Life. And, man, Half-Life, that game... Okay, well, the game itself was pretty interesting, but the engine itself changed the environment. You had games like... Well, how do I put this? Really, what was kind of defining before the Half-Life time, there was first-person shooters that were around all the time. You know, Doom, you had Quake. I want to say, what was that game? Now I'm not remembering the name of it. That is not good audio. There was a game that was basically a tech demo for an engine. Unreal. I want to say that came out before Half-Life, but it might have been after. I don't remember which. But that game and Half-Life kind of opened opportunities for more mods. And man, that changed the scene when it came to gaming, especially in first-person shooters. I believe I have an episode of that focused on it coming up. Maybe an episode or two from now. But just playing Quake and such. I'm kind of losing my train of thought here because I'm watching my cats. Yeah, watching my cats do that you just heard, probably. Kind of freaking out fighting each other. So, trail of thought lost. Refining, okay. So one of the things, getting back to the topic of community within gaming, Quake was some of the first stuff I played online. Finding multiplayer servers through IRC, things like that. I didn't do it as much as I would down the road with Duke Nukem. Duke Nukem 3D, that is. But playing online, that was really my first experience just playing online. And it was a very interesting experience, just, you know, hooking up with random people and shooting them with lightning bolts and random gib guns. Good times. It would definitely kind of spark an interest that would last decades. So, I don't know, just thinking about that stuff. I remember Duke Nukem was probably the first game that me and my brothers played, like, continuously together online. Constantly. I mean, we played Doom, we played Quake together, but Duke Nukem, we played that so much. I mean, just going through the levels. Granted, probably the most common level was, of course, Stadium. I remember correctly, Lyle used to load that level up every time. I remember that was one of the first games I actually went and found custom levels and downloaded. I also remember making custom levels for, you know, Doom and Hexen and eventually Duke Nukem. And you know, I want to say that editing those levels, outside of making levels for MUDs back in the day, editing those levels was my first real experience with any sort of game design elements on a virtual level, like in terms of actual hands-on doing something that somebody else didn't do. I remember the frustration of trying to think in 3D for Doom or Hexen, and whatever the engine was that they were running, I cannot remember what it was called, but the limitations of that engine, and then seeing similar limitations with the Duke Nukem engine. Like the fact that you could have rooms on top of each other, but if a room that crossed another room could see each other without, like, you know, some distance between the two of them, it would mess up, it would cause compiler errors, it would look horrible in the game. It was this weird way the engine worked. Even things like just placing mirrors in bathrooms or whatever. It was a weird thing the way they set up the mechanics, because to make a mirror, you had to make a room identical in size to the area the mirror was reflecting. You didn't have to texture it, you didn't have to put anything over there, it's just you had to have a room on the other side of a wall that was the same size as the room that was being reflected. It was weird. I mean, I guess somewhere along the lines it makes sense on a coding standpoint, but from, someone like me who did not understand the coding side of it, at least then, it was weird. I think we have achieved rambling at this point, so I'm going to say we're going to go ahead and call it there. I believe the next episode covers the N64, so we're going to head back to console land, and I'm kind of looking forward to in a few days when I get to the point in the topics where we're not just talking about a particular system or particular games at a time, but we start talking community. That should be in a few days. I think we're going to start seeing an upswing in the quality of this recording. So, I'm going to head off. Bye-bye.